In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, we're going to talk about the birth of Christ. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Christ is born. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And for there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow at your throne to praise you for our Savior Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate that Jesus was born, God in the flesh, and he came to this earth to be the Savior of mankind. We celebrate, Lord, that not only did he live, but he gave his life upon the cross of Calvary for our sins, was laid in that tomb. And we celebrate that that tomb could not hold him, that he came out of that tomb alive, risen from the grave. And we celebrate that he is today seated at your right hand to make intercession for all those who call upon him. Now, Lord, we praise you and we pray for your guidance in this message. I pray it be your message spoken through me. And I give myself to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Christ is born. Truly good news. Amen. We start today with the shepherds and God's silence. And we read in the text how that the shepherds, of course, were keeping watch over their fields and or over their sheep in the fields by night, and suddenly there appeared an angel. The glory of the Lord shone around them. It says, now imagine if you had, these are common shepherds. These are not guys who are accustomed to interacting with angels. One day they're, or one evening, they're keeping their sheep. Everything is as normal. The next second, an angel appears, and the area is literally glowing with the presence of God. Of course, the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I bring good tidings of great joy." That word "bring" is where we get our English word "evangelize" from. It means to bring an important yet positive message. And that's what was brought to the shepherds that day. An important, a positive message. You see, these guys were not guys who would have expected to, as I said before, interact with angels or hear a word from God directly. In fact, the entire nation of Israel at this point had not heard from God for a very long time. It had been 400 years since Israel had heard from God. It was a period of silence. The last thing that the nation had heard was from the book of Malachi, or from the prophet Malachi, in which they were scathingly reprimanded for their polluted offerings and their corrupt priest and withholding their tithes. And since that message from Malachi, it's been total silence. Have you ever thought, "God, I would just like to hear from you"? Israel spent 400 years in silence. Oh, they went through the time of Antony the Great, of the Greek occupation, and suffering from the viewpoint of not being an independent nation, and they heard nothing from God. They experienced the dark days of Antiochus Epiphanes. And if you don't know that story, I'd encourage you to go back and read about that story. But who in one day sacrificed a pig in the temple of God. Slaughtered 40,000 Jews. And sold 40,000 more Jews into slavery. And they heard nothing from God. Now in the text, or during the time of our text, they're under Roman rule, dealing with the harsh Roman armies, the soldiers who would actually prefer to kill them than to deal with them. They're under the ruler Herod the Great, who was an egomaniac. And they've not heard from God. Probably a time that they might have thought, we'll never hear from God again. And where did God show up? In a field talking to a bunch of shepherds. I love that. That just reminds me that God deals with the ordinary man. Don't you? I mean, you know, we tend to look at preachers and religious people, and those are people of God. But I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter who you are, God wants to deal with you today. And you may be in that position that you're thinking, man, if I could just hear from God. I'm hurting. If I could just hear from God. I'm experiencing financial issues. If I could just hear from God. I'm missing loved ones. If I could just hear from God. And you know, when we look, do you ever think, boy, I'd just like to hear good news? You ever walk up to people and say, how are you today? And just wish they'd say, I'm great. Because quite often we hear, oh, this is wrong, that's bad. And you know, I'm reminded, and I'm going to show my age, okay? Anybody remember the song, singer-songwriter Ann Murray? She had a really good song one time. The song was called A Little Good News. And the chorus went something like this. How that she longed to hear that nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower side of town. Sound familiar? Nobody OD'd. Nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger. Nobody had to die in vain. We sure could use a little good news today. You ever feel like that? I'm sure that the nation of Israel at this point, they were at that point where we just need a little good news. Well, let me ask you something. Where are you getting your news from? Where are you getting your news from? Fox? CNBC? Or MSNBC? That's it, I'm sorry. CBS? ABC? NBC? CNN? You know what I become when I watch those guys? Depressed. And I'm not... But it's just depressing. I need a little good news. You know what the good news is? Unto you is born this day a Savior. We can look at the world and we can listen to what's terribly wrong, and we can look at our country and listen to what our president's doing or not doing and Congress is doing to fight this. And we can listen to all that junk. Or we can turn into the Word of God and realize that God still speaks. We're not in this alone. Do you realize? The problem is not that we're not hearing from God. The problem is that we're not listening to God. We have been blessed with the Word of God. And I believe with all my heart that this is the Word from God. And when you open it up and you read the words, it's just the same as if you were sitting in His presence. And He's giving you direction. Again, I hear people so often say, Doug, Brother Doug, I don't know what to do. I've got this wrong. I've got that wrong. Oh, do you open the Word of God? Do you seek your news from the Word of God? Because God is not silent. My friends, He's still speaking. And right now, this time of year, that message is proclaimed, unto you is born a Savior. What you really, really need at this point in your life is deliverance. That's what the word Savior means. Do you know that? You need to be delivered from the clutches and the evils of this old world and this culture. And you need something better to live for. We go on. God's not silent. And God still has made a promise. And He will keep His promise. The angel, the message to the shepherds, of course, there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And I want you to grab the significance of this statement. The Messiah that they have looked for, even longed for over the last 4,000 years, was born on that day. Not only had they sat in silence for 400 years between the Old and the New Testament, they've been waiting for 4,000 years for the Messiah to show up. As a matter of fact, it had been so long that they had quit looking. You go back to the book of Genesis and you can read about how Adam and Eve, they were looking for the birth of this Messiah. Abraham was looking for the birth of this Messiah. King David himself was looking for the birth of this Messiah. Isaiah was looking for the birth of this Messiah. Even prophesied it in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. But 1,000 years passed and the child hadn't shown up. 2,000 passed, the child hadn't shown up. 3,000. It's been 4,000 years. How long would you wait? How long would you wait? But even though it had been 4,000 years, on this day that we read about, that Messiah, that Savior, the Deliverer, was born. The sad part is people had quit watching. People had quit watching. I mean, the people that knew the prophecy, you know, the scribes, the religious leaders of that day, when they were approached, when King Herod was approached by the wise men from the east, you remember the story? And they say, "Where's this king of the Jews born?" And Herod said, "I don't have a clue." He called his religious men in, the scribes, and those people are supposed to know. And the scribes tell Herod, they say, "Oh yeah, yeah, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem." But you know what they never did? They never went to see. You know why they never went to see? They never believed it was going to happen. I want to tell you something. If God promises, God will fulfill. Okay? And it doesn't matter if it's been 1,000, 3,000, or 10,000 years. God will always keep His Word. And what happened on this day is that they woke up and that day had finally arrived. The birth of the Redeemer. You know, as I thought about that, I thought, consider where we are as a people, as a nation. 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked this earth. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verses 9 through 11, we see as Jesus had risen from the grave and He ascended up into the heavens. And you remember what that angel told the disciples as they're standing there looking as Jesus ascends up into the heavens. The angel appeared to them and said, "What are you looking at? This same Jesus that's left today will appear in like manner that you see Him go." And for 2,000 years, we've been waiting. Waiting. Oh, it's been preached. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. You've heard we're living in the last days. Even the Apostle Paul was proclaiming that we're living in the last days. And you look, you say, Brother Doug, it's been 2,000 years, but I want to tell you something. God's promise hasn't changed. You have heard time and time again that one of these days will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You've heard that the trumpet will sound and the graves will burst open. You've heard that we'll meet Jesus in the air. You've heard. But it's been 2,000 years. Friends, one of these days, you're going to wake up and you're going to go about a normal business day. Many people will go to work. Others will do their normal daily routines. Families will go to kids' baseball games. Vacations will happen. Weddings will be planned. And one of these days, beloved, it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That trumpet will sound and God's people will leave this place. Amen. Never get to the point where we're not watching. That's my point, okay? Never come. But Brother Doug, it's been 2,000 years. It does not matter. 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day, and a day as 1,000 years. God is not bound by time. If God says it, it will happen. The good news is not only is God not silent, is not only is our Messiah has been born. The great news is that because He was born, He's coming back for His people. Oh, we have so much to look forward to. Believers, be encouraged. God is not slack concerning His promise. Okay? He's coming again. Yes, let's stop and let's celebrate the birth of that baby Jesus. But let's also stop and celebrate that He is coming back one day. That's God's promise. Then finally, we look at God's peace. Suddenly, can you imagine being a shepherd? Just a shepherd. You're keeping the sheep. The angel appears. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. There's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, here's the where it gets really good. It's one thing to meet an angel. But then suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying... Okay, now... Not only is it suddenly they're talking to an angel, but suddenly a multitude of heavenly hosts. You know what that word multitude means? It literally means an innumerable number of what that word host means, army. So what happens, they go from talking to this angel to an army of angels which you could not count, moving into a moment of praise such as they had never experienced before. Beloved, suddenly God opened up a dimension to these shepherds that they had never seen before, and the angels in thunderous praise cry out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Let me ask you, have you celebrated the birth of your Savior this Christmas? Have you, really concentrated on giving God the glory that this life is not all there is, and because Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born as God in the flesh, went to the cross of Calvary, died for your sins, you, my friends, if you've called upon Jesus Christ, you have a future in heaven that'll never fade away. Oh, that's good. We have so much to praise God for. But here's where it gets really good. Glory to God in the highest, that rang out. And on earth, what's that word? On earth, peace. Peace. Goodwill toward men. You know why the Messiah, the idea of the Messiah, was so appealing to the Jew? Because throughout their history, it's been nothing but persecution after persecution. Throughout their history, their persecution started in Egypt, Babylon, Persia, Greeks, Romans. Even in our more recent history, the Holocaust of Germany. And today, the hatred of the Arab nations. Can you imagine living in a country where hundreds of rockets are fired over into your country, just hoping it'll kill Jews? That's what's going on in Israel today. They've wanted peace and they've never had it. Well, they had it for a very short time when they were obedient to God. But the peace they seek is physical. As a matter of fact, we're even told in the Word of God, pray for the peace of Israel. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I've prayed for the peace of Israel on more than one occasion. But the peace that Israel needs is not freedom from persecution. The peace that Israel needs is not freedom from the rockets flying over. The freedom or the peace that Israel needs is a peace of heart. You see, that word, Jewish word, peace, is shalom. And it means well-being, health, prosperity. But it carries the idea of a spiritual peace, which is an inner peace, a harmony, a freedom from anxiety. So when they say shalom, they're not just wishing you prosperity. They're wishing you peace from the inside out. And that's where we've missed it today. Peace does not come from the outside in. You know? Because there will always be turmoil in our midst. Peace has to come from the inside out. And we want peace in our country. It's going to have to come from those believers. The hearts of those believers. Fully committed and submissive to the will of God in their lives. That kind of peace that will come from the inside out. If the Jews want peace, their peace will come in that day when they receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not throwing stones at the Jews. I know they're still God's people, but I also know they've not received Jesus. And that's where their peace rests. Today, as we look at our country, I take you back to the news. And you can hear any news story about the turmoil and the LGBT rights and the... It's pitiful. And the reason I say it's pitiful is because people do not realize that the peace they seek is not going to come from someone else. You know, when people are demonstrating for their rights to be whatever, my acceptance or rejection is not going to give them peace. You know where their turmoil comes from? Their turmoil comes from within. Not living a life in accordance to God's Word. You say, Brother Doug, why are you picking on the homosexuals? Let's just not pick on them. Let's just pull the whole thing in. You see, there's so much immorality in the world today. People have thrown marriage to the side. And let's, you know, have the concept, well, let's just live together. Back in my day, we called it shacking up. That's not politically correct, but I never was very political. And deep down inside, they know it's not right. They know that God created them male and female. And they know that they're to become one flesh. And that one flesh comes from making a lifelong commitment to one another. And they don't have peace But yet when things like that are called sin, and you know, they back up, who are you to judge me? I'm not judging, you know, we're not judging anybody. We're very simply declaring sin to be sin. And they wonder why I don't have peace. You know? Our young people today, oh, bless you, I love you. But our young people are taught that there is no morality. That right and wrong is what you consider it to be. And did you know that the number one cause of death among teenagers is suicide? Why? Because they're missing peace. We need peace more than we've ever needed it before. And the only way we get it, the only place true peace is found, is in Jesus Christ. That's it. Oh, listen, my friends, we can talk about how bad the world is. But the truth is, the world just needs today what it's always needed. It needs a Savior. And I close with this thought. Okay? Verse 11. It's still as true today as it ever was. Verse 11 says, "For unto you, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A Savior. A Savior from what? A Savior from sin. You know, I don't think people quite understand the guilt that they're living with daily as they live in opposition to the Word of God. Well, I've got news. I've got good news. Unto you is born a Savior that can deliver you from that guilt. And that's Christ the Lord. He was born so that you could have eternal life. Are you a believer? Have you committed your life to Jesus Christ? If not, let's make today that day. You say, "Brother Doug, I believed that Jesus is my Savior. I know I gave Him my life a long time ago, but I'm still not at peace." Let me ask you to take a look and examine your life. Are you living a life that's in accordance with the Word of God? You see, this isn't a make up your own rules as you go along. Being a child of God means I'm going to live my life according to the Word of God. And I know that's not taught very much today. But I believe with all my heart, God has given us His Word. And His Word will give us the keys to happiness and joy. Have you ever felt really, really guilty about something? And you carried that guilt for a long time? The good news is you don't have to carry that guilt anymore. You see, Jesus gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen, you can't earn salvation. You can't buy salvation. You don't get it through baptism. You don't get it by being a member of a church. You get it by the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith. Okay? You just simply have to ask for it, knowing that Jesus Christ gave His life upon the cross of Calvary for your sins. Are you saved? You'll never have peace until you commit your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here, and there's another need. The Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. You need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. There's something the Lord's been dealing with you in a long time, and it's disturbed your peace. I want to tell you, for the child of God that's already a believer, you know how to have peace? Do what God says. It's pretty easy, actually. I remember, and I've shared this with you a number of times. Like 3 years, God was calling me to preach. And I was, no. You know when I got better and life got good is when I said, "Okay, Lord, wherever You lead, I'll follow."
That's when the peace came. Quit fighting Jesus. Quit fighting the Lord. And understand this, the Lord's not trying to mess up your life. He's trying to make your life worth living. That's why He's leading you in the direction that He's leading you. Whatever your need is, this invitation's for you to make things right with the Holy God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we approach Your throne of grace rejoicing today, thanking You, Lord. Oh, thank You for the salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank You for sending Your Son, for loving us so much that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we love You. We praise You. And You are the Lord of lords and King of kings. And today we celebrate Your birth. And not only Your birth, but we celebrate Your return. And we look forward to that return. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, glorify Your great name by every decision that's made in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.